finally,
wheels up on midnight and Thursday.
Midnight on Thursday night, Friday morning.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going west, which means we were picking up time, like 5 hours. And the flight wasn't a lot longer than 5 hours. Six and a half.
Mm-hmm.
So we land in North Carolina, and it's still early, early in the morning. And we can see our baggage there, and there's nobody around to check it. So we waited and waited. And when I say we, in this case, I'm talking about everybody on the plane. And finally we said, in fact, screw this. We went and got our luggage. All right. In the meantime, the people we were waiting with found out where they were going. And I suggested, why don't we rent a big car, like a van or something, and we all travel together, and we'll split the cost. And I suggested we find the total cost, divided up on the basis of mileage. Who's going the farthest, we'll pay a little more.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going close, we'll pay a little less. So people agreed to that, and then we headed north, and some people dropped off before we got there. They'd all paid. We'd figured it all out.
Okay.
And they'd all paid, so the bill for the van was paid.
Mm-hmm.
And we dropped off people on the way. We got to Dover. Shannon and I bailed. Found my car, which battery was not dead, but it was. So I got a jump start from somebody, and that was enough to get me back to Aberdeen or Edgewood. Now it's still early. Well, it's not early in the morning. It's probably close to sunrise. So we got to my apartment, changed clothes quickly. And then, I don't think we got any sleep. If we did, it was no more than an hour. Went down to Baltimore, put her on a plane home. And she flew nonstop to Denver and then Denver into San Jose. She gets there, it's 11 o'clock in the morning in San Jose because she's picking up another 3 hours going west.
Right.
She wanted to go to school because she wanted to have left Spain at midnight and gone to school at 11 the same morning.
Mm-hmm.
But her mother wouldn't let her do it.
Mm.
You missed 3 days already. One more day isn't going to hurt. Shannon was disappointed because she really wanted to do that. All right. Well, in the meantime, of course, Patricia knew I'd had my people in Edgewood call her and let her know we were stuck in Spain. And then I guess when I got to North Carolina, I phoned them again because military phones are free and said, please call her and let her know where we are and that we'll be home later today. Well, Shannon will be.
Yeah.
Shannon will be home later today. So they did. So she knew what time to pick her up and where, because we're flying a military flight and they're pretty precise. And she knew where to pick her up. No, I'm sorry. That's not true. She was flying a civilian plane out of Baltimore.
Right, commercial.
Commercial. Right. But I called and got the itinerary, the schedule, and told the people in Edgewood, and they passed it along to Patricia that Shannon would get there at this 11:05, something like that, this flight from this, on this airline from Baltimore. And she did. She arrived on time. Like I said, wanted to go to school then, but she wouldn't let her. So in the meantime, she had phoned the school and told them that Shannon was going to be late. And so they were prepared for that, all except one teacher. Monday morning, Shannon checks into that class, not first one, but one of them. And the teacher said, where have you been? This is, you were due here Tuesday, and this is
The following Monday.
So Shannon started telling her about the hurricane and the little red button on the airplane and then having to drive from North Carolina up to Dover. And they she said the teachers just threw up her arms and said, you know, any excuse that starts with a hurricane in Spain, I don't want to hear the rest of it. So that was kind of fun for her.
Now, was that the summer of the Girl with Bird?
Yes, that was in England. No, that was in Spain.
I'm thinking Spain.
It was in Spain, yeah, Madrid. Yeah. Girl with Bird in Madrid. Thank you. All right, so that took care of 79.
Are you doing okay? You're looking like you're...
I'm okay.
Okay, well then tell us about the Girl with Bird.
Oh, we were sitting in a restaurant outside, table outside, and this fellow came over, American, and he looked at Shannon, and he turned to me, he said, "Excuse me, sir, is this your daughter?" I said, "Yes." And he said, "I'd love to take a picture of her." "Why?"
Mm-hmm.
"Well," he said, "she looks exactly like one of my statues. I'm a sculptor, and she's just perfect model for one of my statues." No, okay. So he took the picture, and then he sat down with us, and we talked some more. It turns out the guy is pretty well known, not in in art circles, not in regular circles.
Right.
Oh, excuse me. So he invited us to his studio, which we went to. He didn't have Girl with Bird anymore, but he gave us a picture.
Mm-hmm.
And by God, he was right. That statue looked, Shannon looked like that statue. She was the right height, roughly, slim build, long hair, facial features, not identical, but pretty close. And I can see why he was so taken by it.
Mm-hmm.
So he gave us his name. He also told us he'd done stuff for MoMA and Chicago, and no, he told us where to find a statue of his in Chicago, but we never went back for years. So I don't know if I could find it today. It might not even be there. I don't know. But we had a nice chat with him. We kept his address, and then we left and never saw him again. So that was Girl with Bird.
So now that summer of 1979, you were supposed to go to Denver to for post-production on a commercial that I had been on the set for the summer before, and no, I'm getting that wrong. I'm jumping ahead of myself. That was the summer of 1980. Okay, never mind.
Okay.
We'll fix that in the mix.
Okay. All right. Now, 1980. By this time, I'd figured out how the system works. And I knew that the farther away you signed up for something, the more likely you were to get it. So I signed us up for Frankfurt. We flew into Frankfurt. I'd already reserved a rental car. Hello.
I put some colored ones on
with the oh, some woman came by and admired Snoopy.
Oh, did she?
Yeah.
As the mailbox door goes up and down.
Yeah.
I like the flagpole. That's interesting. We never did that before.
Yeah, it works.
If you feel like it, if you feel like it, the mail is here now.
The mail is here, so. Yeah.
Michael went earlier and it wasn't there.
So.
I said, if you feel like it.
No.
I can go later and get it.
Anyway, so we flew into Frankfurt am Main, and I did have a car, and we checked into a BOQ at the airbase there. And then there was this young lieutenant who was on the staff back home, whose father was the European head of FedEx. And he was coming over to see his parents. Well, it was his stepmother because his father had been divorced. But he was coming over to see his father and, I guess, meet the stepmother. So the father had a beautiful home on the Rhine, little up near Wiesbaden, and he invited us up. Okay. So we went up and spent one night with him. Oh my God, this place was gorgeous. Really gorgeous. Okay. And we didn't want to stay because we wanted to see some other things, castles and so on. But he said, listen, I've got this little place down in Switzerland, up in the Alps, near a town called Adelboden. I'd love to have you spend some, we want to spend some time in Switzerland. Said, I'd love for you to be my guest there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They gave us general directions on how to find it. So they left before we did, day or two, and then we drove down to Switzerland, drove up the side of the mountain. I'm glad it was after dark, because if it had been in daytime and I looked over the edge, I don't think I would have gone any further. It was straight down for about a mile.
Yeah.
Ooh. So we got into Adelboden. We couldn't find it. Well, it was after dark.
Yeah.
So we checked into a hotel and figured, all right, the next morning we'd go find him, which we did. But I have to tell you that the next morning I was awakened by a kind of a whoosh, 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 whoosh sound. And I went to the balcony and opened the wooden windows. And there were some people down there sweeping the streets. The Swiss do that. They sweep the streets every day. So they're so meticulously clean. So then I could see where I was going and could follow his directions. His little place in the Alps had 14 bedrooms.
Okay.
So we stayed with them for a couple days, two or three, I don't recall, and we explored all over the area. And also, when I looked down, I also looked up. Oh, my God. It was one of the Swiss mountains.
Mm-hmm.
Straight up. Whew. It was impressive, but still, it was also a little bit shocking that this little town was stuck in the middle of a mountain, about equidistant from the top and the bottom.
Mm.
Which doesn't amount to a hill of beans, but I just thought I'd mention it. So we stayed with them, and then we'd seen what we wanted to see. So we left them, headed back to Frankfurt, checked in. I'd actually had rented a little small apartment because I didn't want her to stay on base. I wanted her to meet Germans and
some junk.
Thank you.
He loves getting junk every time.
I do not.
They're running out of room on
there. Wow. Okay.
Will you be able to eat in the dining room tonight?
Of course.
Okay.
So we checked into my little apartment and were there just a few days when Shannon said, Dad, I'd like to go to Berlin. Oh, Berlin. The Tiergarten, the zoo, the parks. All these wonderful things in Berlin. Yes, yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, well, no, the reason is I met this girl, Gisela, my age, who speaks English. And she said, Frankfurt is Dullsville. That if you want to go where the action is, you go to West Berlin. That's where all the good shops are and the boutiques and everything. Okay.
She's a teenage girl.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I didn't care. So now, and getting there, well, there were three ways. One was by plane. I checked, and nothing was available for a week or more. So then I thought about the overnight McDonald's special, so-called because there are no McDonald's, or were no McDonald's in Frankfurt. But there were McDonald's in Berlin.
Okay.
And these young GIs would board the plane free, a train free. They would go to Berlin, they would have McDonald's, and then come back the next day. They would go at nighttime, and then come back the next day.
So when they got tired of bratwurst and sauerkraut, and they just wanted some good old American hamburgers, they would take the train to Berlin.
If all they had were McDonald's hamburgers, it wouldn't have been a problem. But these are young GIs.
Yeah.
Fill up on German beer.
And, yeah, and STDs. And
there was no way I was going to put my 14-year-old daughter on a train full of drunken GIs. So the third alternative, the one we picked, was to drive.
Mm-hmm.
Well, driving across a communist country is not the easiest thing in the world. I had to go get a special license plate because West Germany did not recognize East Germany. East Germany did not recognize West Germany.
Frankfurt is in East Germany?
West.
West, right.
Right, Berlin's in East Germany.
Well, East West. Berlin. I mean,
yeah,
I
East
mean,
Berlin.
The dividing line was in Berlin.
Berlin is divided among the French, American, British, and Russian zones.
Right.
But there are no boundaries between the French, American, and British part.
Right. But you had to go through Russian, I mean, you had to go through occupied territory, whatever
yes.
you call it, to get from Frankfurt to Berlin.
Yes.
Okay.
120 miles across East Germany.
East Germany.
To get to Berlin.
Okay.
So had to go to get the special license plate because I couldn't drive with the West German plate on my car.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had to get special documents, and I still have mine. I'm sure Shannon lost hers decades ago, but I have mine. It's out in the garage. It's mounted along with pictures of her in East Berlin,
mm-hmm.
My ID card then, some German coins, and a piece of the wall, although it's fallen off and I haven't glued it back on. Anyway, excuse me. So we got a briefing, told what to do, which included when you're in East Germany, you're on the Autobahn, okay? If you get stopped by a Volkspolizei, you pull over, roll up the windows, lock the door, and you hold this pass to the window along with your ID card. You do not cooperate with them. Oh, all my life I've been taught to cooperate with policemen.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm told specifically not to. Why not? Well, you're a senior officer in the U.S. Army. We do not recognize East Berlin. If you cooperate with them, that means you're recognizing them, and they may take that as a sign that, well, one of your officers recognizes us, so you must recognize us as well. We'll take that as a sign that now you recognize.
Hmm.
I'm saying, I could affect world politics? And he said, yes, that's why you don't do it.
You could create an international incident if you
exactly.
get pulled over. Yeah.
Exactly. So, as it turned out, we weren't stopped.
Okay.
But got through the East German checkpoint at Marienbad, no problem. And about a mile down the road was the Russian checkpoint. And it consisted of this little building on one side, you know, just a guard station, and a bigger building on the other side of the road. And I was to stop at a precise and exact point, not a foot forward, not a foot back, but a
mm-hmm.
precise point. And the reason the sergeant explained to me was they were going to take a picture of the car. I said, do they take pictures of every car, the vehicle that goes through? Yes. And I'm thinking, that's got to be ridiculous. That's what I'm thinking. And I sort of expressed that. And he said, you'll find out why.
Okay.
Okay. So, like I say, got through Marienbad okay. Drove up to the Russian checkpoint. Got out of the car and handed my paper, Shannon's paper and my paper, these documents, and our ID cards to this young Russian in combat uniform and a Kalashnikov slung over his shoulder. And he checked the ID against the paper and had Shannon's first. And he was checking the spelling of the name and
mm-hmm.
whatever was on the ID card also had to be handed back. And then I gave him mine. And when he got down to what rank I was a major. He clicked his heels together, and he threw me the neatest salute I have ever been saluted in my life.
Hmm.
Wow, that was neat. And I thought, wouldn't it be nice if our GIs did that? I also thought, why is he saluting me? Then it occurred, he was saluting an officer. Doesn't matter what army. He was saluting an officer. So I weakly returned it, and I had to take the papers across to the other building where they were stamped, because he had approved them by checking what he was looking for, but somebody over there had to approve them also, and he stamped them with a rubber stamp, red.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Brought him back. The soldier saw the rubber stamp and sent us on our way. Well, the reason they didn't worry about photographing every vehicle was because there were not in the direction we were going. Not one single vehicle all the way to Berlin. There were two or three going the other way in 2 hours. That was it. So there were so few of them that they could take pictures of the vehicle, send it forward on, what was it called in those days, where you sent a picture?
Like a facsimile?
A facsimile. And that was waiting for me when I got to Berlin. And in fact, the guard there had his copy of it, and he looked over my car and saw that it was correct. And once again, I had to show the ID and the paper, and once again I got saluted. Then I was in West Berlin. So I went straight to Tempelhof, checked into a BOQ, and then we started exploring Berlin. So, cut.
Quick question. How fast were you able to drive through 60 East Germany?
Miles, no faster than 60.
Because
it was 120 miles an hour. Mm-hmm. No, 120 miles. It was a 60-mile limit. And if I was getting close to Berlin and I was under 2 hours, I was to slow it down, if necessary, to 5 miles an hour to make sure that two hours had passed. Because otherwise, I would have been speeding and they would have issued me a ticket.
Okay.
Okay, cut.
Oh.